This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. My name is Alan Ellis, and you'll be listening to me for the next hour, but not all the time, because we have our guest, Paul Piavas from Maryland Department of Natural Resources, with us, and we're talking about the annual perch run and perch, yellow perch in general. So, good morning, Paul. How are you doing?
Pretty good, Alan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So, you and I have taken a couple shots at a couple of rabbits from time to time, and I always had
a
good time.
One.
Huh?
I think I remember you missing one.
Just one?
Yeah. I mean, everybody else was perfect, right?
That's right.
Never miss.
Oh, that was the year before my shoulder surgery. Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
the right. The rabbit went across the field, easy crossing shot, and
yeah,
the gun went out. The gun went off, and I fell on the ground, and the gun fell on the ground. Well, I didn't fall, but the gun came out. A lot of pain there. But anyway,
I have a young hunter, first year fella in the house, and I called him the most important thing. If you miss, it's either the choke or the shell.
One of the two, yeah.
Yeah, the load or the choke.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I got to get the most, after safety, you got to get the most important things about hunting down to.
Yeah, the excuse. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. In my case, it was a loose nut behind the trigger.
I like that one.
So,
you haven't copyrighted that one.
No, not yet.
Okay.
I actually used that a young lady that I hunt with occasionally in Cecil County. Gave me her gun. She had missed a buck, and she said,
"Yeah, it's
you need to check this out." I took it out, and I mean, it was dead on, and you know. And I said, "Here's your gun." And she said, "Did you find out what was wrong?" And I said, "Yeah, loose nut behind the trigger." She said,
I like
"Oh
that one.
Boy, I hope you can fix that." I said,
"Last year, funny how a year can go by pretty quick. But last year, after." I was on your show here talking about yellow perch about this time of year. Wasn't too much longer, and I went took the dogs to the vet and Dr. Ed Colston down to Easton, and said, "I heard you on the radio." I said, "Oh yeah," and he said, "Yeah, well, Alan Ellis, he's my wake up call every Saturday morning."
Oh, that's so cool. Glad to hear that.
I'm sure he's listening. Hey, Dr. Ed.
Hey, Dr. Ed. How you doing? Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. So,
yeah.
Sponsorships are available.
Yeah. Anyway. Always.
Always. Yes, sir. Well, let's talk about yellow perch. Vince called from Chestertown here in the last hour. He's on the road right now, so he's not going to be able to call back in, I guess. But his initial question was, with all the cold weather, what does the water temperature have to be in the spawning areas, spawning reaches for the yellow perch to start moving upstream?
Well, like we've discussed before, there's a lot of different variables can start their movement up the creeks. Yellow perch, in a lot of instances, they're more stragglers than a lot of other fish that come upstream to spawn.
Okay.
There's a very tight window when they're spawning. But they'll keep moving up. I suspect they're moving up. If you're in an area that's ice covered, they're going to start moving up underneath the ice. Some people say that when there's an ice cover, they actually move up earlier, which is what, opposite of what most people would think. They would think that, if there's a real cold water, that it's going to set their clock back a little bit. When in fact, there's some people that think that they actually do scoot up. And in the last year that we had ice in the chop tank, where we do a lot of surveys, about 10 years ago, I suppose, there's pretty good evidence that actually did happen, because they completely bypassed our nets, and people were catching them up to Greensboro pretty frequently as soon as the ice was out.
Okay.
So there's I'm not putting that one in though. That's just an anecdote.
Yeah.
Thin pan there, but yeah. So there. To answer his question though, I assume he's a bank fisherman, and I assume that he's in a more upstream area. I would start looking at around 40 degrees.
Okay.
Water temperature, and of course they'll really start spawning hot and heavy around 48 degrees or so. So I would, of course, if you have open water and you have access to a boat and you can get to some deeper waters, that's where they're going to be right now.
Sure.
If you have access to water and a good safe boat, then you could do pretty well.
And some of the areas, for example, some of the channels off of the condos up in the Susquehanna River right now, the 70, 80 foot depths are catching fish right now, aren't they?
Yes, I've heard a lot of areas. Well, the popular areas, yeah, up off of Perryville and
right.
and up in that area, sure, yeah, that's become a go-to place for a lot of folks. But don't overlook charts in your local rivers and creeks. If you can be in 30 foot plus, you're probably gonna find fish. If you're not gonna find yellow perch, you're gonna find some nice catfish.
Sure,
it's the deeps right now are a very diverse habitat. You're gonna find white perch. You're gonna find maybe even a few rock and yellow perch. It can be a very, very good mixed bag.
Cool. That sounds like a plan to go fishing on the next nice day, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, like we said before, in this cold water temperature, their metabolism slow down.
Right. Sure.
And they're not. Yeah, they can be finicky, but they are all going to be looking for that deep water, and it won't be. They don't care who their neighbor is. They're just gonna clump up together off of the drops, off the deep edges of the drops, and you know, in our trawl surveys, that's where we find them.
That's where they are. Sure, that's where they hang. I appreciate that. Yes, sir. Well, okay, Paul, tell us your official title and where you're out of, and who you work with, and what you guys actually do there.
All right, I'm the project manager for Chesapeake Finfish. And with Fisheries Division, I like to call ourselves Option D, Other. We are
okay.
We survey and sample pretty much everything other than striped bass and crabs.
Okay,
we have a group of that's what we call the Resident Species Project, which is headed by Butch Webb, been a guest on your show.
Yep.
And that includes our yellow perch and white perch, anything that's managed within the state that's not like an ASMFC or migratory species.
AFMFC, that would be the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission.
Correct,
okay.
Correct. But also included in that is one ASMFC managed species, and that's Keith Whiteford's eel project. He was on a couple weeks ago.
I believe. Mm-hmm, the eels, sure.
Yep, it was a pretty interesting species.
Indeed,
it's kind of hard to work with when you're trying to model it, but it is quite interesting. But so we have Butch in charge of eels, the perches, and catfish,
right.
And then Harry Rickabaugh is in charge of the migratory species. Of course, right now it's shad and herring is his big gearing up for field work there.
Right.
That'll be followed closely on the heels of our yellow perch surveys.
Cool.
And we have many different surveys, especially with we call that project the interjurisdictional fisheries, and he'll after the shads and herrings, he'll switch over to spot and croaker and some of the more frequent summer visitors.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, good. We'll talk hopefully to Harry and or some of these other fellows. I know Butch. You know, I don't know that I've ever met Harry, but you know, we'll.
We're all right out of Mattapique.
Out of Mattapique, sure.
So that's kind of a good central location.
All right.
But it's interesting though. You ask about our the way we're set up within fisheries. We're a very cooperative group, and we use people and data from other surveys, from the striped bass survey, the striped bass seine survey is actually the real title is the estuarine juvenile finfish survey, because it's proven very, very useful for and informative for a lot of different species.
Sure. I mean,
Eric Durrell does a really good job, and he collects data for everybody on all different species that they collect in the seine. And you know, we avail ourselves of that data for many different species.
Well,
we're a small group, and we try to help each other out and use as many data sources as we can lay our hands on.
Well, I've said this in the past, and I'll continue to say it, and I'll always say it, that the boots on the ground biologists in our Maryland Department of Natural Resources, whether it's Wildlife Heritage Service or Fisheries Service, are the finest in the country. And our management practices are based on science. A lot of hard work is into crunching the numbers and doing what we need to do to take care of a diverse user group, both recreational and commercial. So you guys do the heavy lifting, and we get to enjoy the fruits of your efforts on the management side. So that being said, I'm going to take a break.
That's okay.
14 inches is the Chesapeake Bay division for a citation yellow perch that we're talking about right now on the perch run. It is time for the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge, and some people start it with the yellow perch run. You could win a great prize, like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour for a yellow perch. Doesn't have to be anything other than that. But new this year is an invasive species award for those catching blue catfish, flathead catfish, and northern snakeheads. And check out the Maryland Youth Fishing Club and the Youth Angler's Log to learn how your youngster can win a guided fishing trip. Now, from now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check out the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov, that's G-O-V, for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? Are you? Well, if you are, the way to get geared up is to go to Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Everything you need for fishing, for perch. They got live bait. They got shad darts. They've got, you know, twister tails. They've got the little gets at jigs. They've got the jig heads. They've got the snelled hooks. They've got the weights, the top and bottom. You name it, they've got it. They'll spool line on your reel. They'll get you all hooked up with a great rod and reel combo if you don't have one. And you will be ready to go fishing bobbers, you name it, they've got. For perch fishing, for panfish, for trout, for striped bass, for bass, Clyde Sports Shop, fishing headquarters. To even prove it even more, they've got a fishing hotline, 24/7 fishing hotline. The phone number there is 410-247-3474. That's 247-FISH. You want to write that down, keep it near your phone. That way you can get a fishing update anytime, any day from Clyde Sports Shop. And don't forget, full line of firearms, gunsmithing services as well, licenses, you've got it. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit number 9, ClydeSports.com's website. Make sure you stop by this spring, Clyde Sports Shop. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linux of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linux are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linux spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linux spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linux of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linux now offer the new Linux Premium that looks better and last longer. Bay Linux of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linux is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linux spray-on bedliner. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Wild is calling. The Great American Outdoor Show, presented by Outdoor Channel, is coming to the Farm Show Complex in Harrisburg, February 1st to the 9th, celebrating the outdoor traditions treasured by millions of Americans, with celebrity appearances from Michael Waddell, Lee and Tiffany, and many more. Plus tons of events for the entire family, including the NRA Country Jam. Start your adventure now by getting your tickets at greatamericanoutdoorshow.org.
Yes! Here comes Amos! Now, Amos Moses was a Cajun. He lived by himself in the swamp. They hunted alligator for a living. They just knock him in the head with a stump. The Louisiana law gonna get you, Amos.
All right, we're back with Paul Piavas, Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. He's the project manager for the Finfish Division of Chesapeake Bay, which is all the fish with fins, I'm going to guess, other than striped bass. How's that sound?
That's a pretty good one, yep.
All right.
Pretty good description.
Very good. All right, how long does the yellow perch live?
Excuse me. The oldest that we have found is 15 years. And that's going to be an outlier. That's a long one.
Yeah.
We routinely see 10-year-old fish, but the bulk of a population that people are going to be fishing on or interested on are usually up to about age 8, 9 years
sure.
old. You know, anywhere from 5 to the perch that people are interested in are going to be 5 to, you know, 5 plus years old. We have a pretty good growth rate here in Michigan.
Michigan.
Out of Michigan, Maryland. I was going to compare it to Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah, some studies from Michigan show that their yellow perch in their first year grow about 3 inches, where an average one is going to be 4.5 here. So inches. So we got a head start.
So what are you saying? We got better perch than Michigan?
Well, we got faster growers. We got a longer growing season, and we spawn earlier. So
really?
we got a pretty good head start.
Okay, that's good.
Well, let me put it this way.
Hey, Michigan.
Yeah. Well, my brother and I were fishing up there, and we were just drifting for either walleye or yellow perch. And
yeah.
Oh, about a 7.5-incher comes up, and he pulls it up and throws it in a bucket. And I said, what are you doing with that? He said, oh, I'm going to fillet that. I said, you got to be kidding me.
Right.
They take everything up there. It's for the little ones. They don't, you know, you got to get out to the Great Lakes to find some old jumbo perch out there. But in those inland lakes, boy, they keep them, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
They don't get a chance to get very big. And where we have a 9-inch minimum size limit for our recreational fishermen.
Right.
So you can compare a 9-inch yellow perch to a 7-inch yellow perch side by side, and there's a considerable difference. It looks a lot more than 2 inches because they start beefing up and getting some girth to them once they get to 9 inches. So we do have a pretty good head start on the growth, and by nine inches, that fish is going to be a fast, either a fast fast growing 3 year old or a slow growing 4 year old.
Right. Okay.
In many instances.
Yeah. Now our yellow perch record in the tidal division or Chesapeake Bay division is 2 pounds 3 ounces, which was caught in Marsh Creek in 1979. The freshwater record isn't that old. It was caught by Philip Deere the Fourth in 2006 in Harford County Farm Pond, 3 pounds 5 ounces, which tells me a little bit of something. That tells me that a fish that's in a tidal river system works a little harder than one in a farm pond, you know, to make a living. But what is our current bag limit and size limit on yellow perch for this run that people can count on?
Okay, for in the tidal areas.
Areas.
That's one thing that I should have brought out when you were asking about who we are and what we do.
Yeah.
We are split in a tidal and non-tidal division in fisheries. So
right.
What I'm talking about is this is all going to be our tidewater Chesapeake Bay region.
Yeah, all the
yellow
the
perch. And we are at a 9-inch minimum size limit.
Right.
And a 10-fish creel limit per day. And no season closures. So you can that's another thing people don't realize is it's a lot harder to find them in the summer. But you can, if you're going out and being a generalist and being an opportunistic fisherman, you get into some grass beds and whatnot, and you can have a pretty good day finding those summertime yellow perch. And then actually late fall is a good time also. But yeah, so we operate under a 10-inch bag limit.
Okay.
Which a lot of states.
Nine inch bag limit, 10 fish. 9-inch minimum size, 10-fish bag limit.
Correct.
Okay. Gotcha. 9 inches, 10 fish. Right?
Per day.
9 by 10.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Very good. So we got that. Now, where do these fish come from? I mean, we talk about the perch run. Where are they? Where do they live? When they come out of the rivers to spawn? Give us a little life cycle of the yellow perch, if you don't mind. And by the way, listeners, you're welcome to call with any questions. 410-922-6680.
Yeah, the yellow perch, of course, many people think that they come up to the very headwaters to spawn, which in many instances they do, but they are definitely capable of spawning in 20-plus feet of water, and we're certain that they do. So they generally have an upstream movement.
Mm-hmm.
Once they lay their eggs, which if anybody's seen a yellow perch egg strand, they know what it is.
It's not a bed situation like a bass or a bluegill does. They just have a gelatinous mass of eggs that they lay, and the intention is to catch them on some brush or keep them from floating away, basically, and then the males fertilize the eggs in that mass, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct, yep. And depending on water temperature, of course, it can take it can take a week to 2 weeks for the eggs to hatch, which is different than a lot of other fish species like striped bass. They can hatch in a day,
mm-hmm.
but they come out very small. The yellow perch come out very big, and that gives them a somewhat of an advantage also in feeding and being a little stronger swimmers and having a little better survival. So once these fish eggs hatch and develop, they're going to be swept out into the channel,
right?
And they're going to live there until they go back and forth with the tide. They have a yolk sac, and once that yolk sac is used up, they're big enough that they can feed on the phytoplankton and the zooplankton. And once they get to be juveniles, which they're just a little bigger larvae, they'll start to move on shore, and there they take advantage of food on shore, and they'll gradually change to bigger prey. They'll go to scuds and aquatic invertebrates, and then to fish once they get bigger.
Okay,
but they will as they age that first year, they disperse. You don't usually find a big patch of them, and you know they'll stay in the nearshore habitats. And again, as we've kind of alluded to, they'll move to once the cold weather, really really deep cold weather hits in, they'll move to deeper water, and everything will start again. The problem with finding yellow perch is, you know, everybody sees them when they're on their spawning run, and then I get so many questions. Where do they go?
That's my question. Sure, where are they?
And they see all these fish, and then their success rate, even if they're moving around, goes to zip. Well, they disperse very very completely, and they don't. Unless you're in a really good habitat, it doesn't appear that they stay schooled up by any means.
Right.
So they go off and live their existence until late fall, when they can start to aggregate again, start to group up again, and overwinter, and then come up the heads.
Okay. All right. Well, that's kind of a little bit of a lifestyle there. So, I mean, that's what people do want to know. I mean, you catch them in the run, and then they're gone, and people go, they're gone. Well, they're not gone because they're coming back next year, but where do they go? And that's always a mystery. All right, Paul, hang on there. We're going to take another short break. We'll be right back.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Marcy Norton. Drugstores carry everything from Tylenol to tights, but experts say they don't usually feature the best prices. Consumer Reports and ConsumerWorld.org say drugstore prices can be higher than prices at grocery stores and big box retailers on a variety of items, including drugs. Consumer Reports checked the prices of the most popular blockbuster prescription drugs at 200 pharmacies and found the cheapest place to get your prescriptions filled is Costco. Walmart and Kmart also undersold the drugstore chains for prescriptions and over-the-counter medications. Drugstore giant CVS had the highest prices. Food was not a great deal at drugstores either. Consumer Reports found that in general, grocery stores had better prices for 25 basic items. And grocery stores also beat drugstores on the cost of cleaning products. Makeup was less expensive at the Target and Walmart online stores than CVS's. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
Attention, teachers, nurses, government employees, police officers, and firefighters. If you're struggling to pay student loans, then your entire student loan can be forgiven. You heard correctly. Broadsword Student Advantage has free information on how you can potentially have the remaining balance of your student loan debt completely forgiven. We can help anyone with student loans potentially cut their payments in half. Call now for free information. 800-798-1205. 800-798-1205. 800-798-1205.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
Want to help those affected by Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines? To donate, visit philippinesrelief.adcouncil.org. That's philippinesrelief.adcouncil.org. Brought to you by the...
Yes, some folks say I'm a simple kind of man. I love the outdoors, eat my beans from a can. I like hunting, fishing, don't care what the tree huggers say. I learn more about life sitting out in the woods or on the banks of a river when the fishing's no good. And if I go home skunk, well, hell, I still had a good day.
All right, we're back with Paul Piavas for Maryland Department of Natural Resources. The conversation is yellow perch. Folks, you're welcome to call 410-922-6680. Or 800-922-6680 is our phone number. So how, you know, a number of years ago we had closures in some of the river systems in Maryland. Do we still have closed areas to yellow perch, Paul?
Not for recreational fishermen. The commercial fishermen have been limited to areas north of the Bay Bridge, so
okay.
Just the Upper Bay, so
sure.
The Potomac, Tribs and some of the lower shore, well, all the lower shore tribs, all the tribs below the Bay Bridges are recreational only.
Right, tributaries.
For your,
okay.
For your recreational fishermen, everything is open.
Okay.
There are some small closures, that, of course, to check on. There's that closure below Severn Run for a few thousand feet, and also below Lake Waterford Dam on the Magothy.
Where do we check those? Where do we find those closures?
On the on the webpage, on the DNR Fisheries webpage. You can find those. The Severn one, I think, is 2,000 yards downstream from Route 3, and it's just during this late winter, early spring time frame.
Okay. So if I go on the website there and go to the recreational page, I should be able to find the yellow perch closures.
Right. Right.
Okay. Okay. I'll try to find that. But so there are a couple little spots that are closed and people should be aware of that they're going to get a citation if they don't know that area, right?
Yeah, or a warning, hopefully.
Or a warning. Yeah, I got you. All right, I got you. All right. So where do you guys get your information? I mean, you talk about cooperating between agencies, but what kind of surveys and stuff do you guys do?
Okay, our main survey is our winter trawl survey, which is not to be confused with the winter dredge survey for crabs.
Right.
But we start in December and go through about mid-February, and we have 18 sites in the, from below Rock Hall all the way up through the Elk and Sassafras Rivers in the Upper Bay. And also, we picked up a few sites in the Chester River over these last couple of years. So that's a pretty labor-intensive cold weather survey, and it's not just for yellow perch. Like I said, as we try to have our surveys do as much, get as
right.
much bang for the buck. So it's actually proved pretty good for rockfish, and we definitely use it in our channel catfish and white perch assessments also. So that's our main winter one. Then we'll transition into our Choptank River Fike Net Survey, which has been ongoing since 1988. So it's a very long data set. And again, we use that for white catfish, channel catfish, white perch, and yellow perch. We get a lot of age information and things like that. For people, for your listeners that don't know, fike nets are, it's a fish sampling gear that's, if you could picture, gradually smaller hula hoops with a net around it. And, of course, they know what a minnow trap looks like with the funnels. It has internal funnels, and the fish get in there, get trapped. And,
sure.
And we process them on board. And
which is tedious. Measure each one, scale sample each one.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it can be.
You got 500 yellow perch to survey. I've seen those surveys. It is a tedious job. It becomes however many millimeters or how centimeters or however you measure them, and you take a scale sample and it goes in an envelope. And I mean, it becomes like it's almost like a factory job doing those surveys. I've seen it. I understand it. But it. But the data is valuable.
It may look like a factory job, but maybe in our heads we're saying this is like a ballet. This is something very higher that we attain to. We're such a good, well-oiled team that everything just seems to flow. But no, it.
Do you want some music for that?
I don't know. everybody's got little. It's more like voices in your head. Oh no! Jump overboard! Jump overboard!
Yeah.
Be with the fish.
Yeah.
Be one with the fish.
You don't dream about it, right? You don't. You know, upcoming survey season is here. You know, you don't. You don't go, oh no, and you start having these nightmares about, you know.
No.
Okay.
Usually, if we're out there and we have a big haul like that, we need every. All hands on deck to get it over the edge there.
Yeah.
It's usually the more things at this time of year you're thinking, oh, I just want to get to shore and get a nice hot cup of coffee.
No, I got you. How are we doing? How are we doing on the yellow perch?
We're starting to rebound in the population. We've got a big year class coming in. We were back in the early 2000s, 2003, 4, 5, up through probably about 2008. Our populations were really, really pretty high, probably higher than they've been in a generation, actually.
Really?
We had a lot of good year classes come through, and And of course, they like you said, like you asked previously, you know, how old do they live? And, you know,
right.
The effective range is going to be 7-8 years old. So we started to see a pretty good downturn over the last few years. We had a big year class in, well, above average, let's say, above average to pretty darn good. That's a technical term.
Right.
In 2011. And those fish are now coming back into the adult, what we would call exploitable population. So things are bumping up. It appears that it bottomed last year, and at least in a time frame. Our assessment goes back to 1998.
Right.
And that's just a natural cycle. Things don't stay up. Look at it more that we were very fortunate that we had very, very strong year classes in like 1998, 99, 2001, 2003, 2000. It was pretty extraordinary
sure.
that we had some. Each one may not have been a blockbuster, but each one was above average.
And they all add up, yeah.
Yeah, and we call these type of fisheries boom and bust fisheries.
Yeah, like bluefish.
Very reliant on, well, many people think is one really good year class, but the more that I'm around and you know, the more things that I look at, yeah, that can really give you a good pulse of fishery, but a lot of good just average years interspersed really, really helps broaden the population and really keeps a kind of like an inertia or momentum in the population
sure.
going where, you know, you just have a really nice broad age structure, and the fishing can in those years can be very, very good, very, very entertaining.
That's great. Okay. Well, now when we come back from our little break here, we're going to talk about what the average angler can do as far as the volunteer angler survey, and then we'll talk about some of the hot spots, you know, in the Upper Bay and Chop Tank and that type of thing, and we'll go from there. How's that sound?
Okay, sounds
all right, good. It's time for me to tell the folks about Clyde's Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit number 9. They have everything you need for fishing. Live bait, line, rods and reels, rod and reel repair. Get your stuff fixed up for the season. Go in, get some hooks and weights and bobbers and live bait and go catch some perch. They've got everything for trout season coming up. They've got the striper baits, bass lures, you name it for fishing. Clyde Sports Shops has it. And also, don't forget, firearms for any purpose. They've got handguns for recreational shooting and home protection. They've got shotguns for the same purpose. They've got hunting firearms, muzzle loaders. They've got Browning firearms, Remingtons, others, you name it. Why not check it out at Clyde Sports Shop? Go to their website first. ClydeSports.com, then go to the store, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just up Beltway, exit 9. You can call them, 242-6108, find out if they have what you need, or you can call the fishing hotline, 247-FISH, for an updated fishing report, and you'll be glad you did. Clyde Sports Shop. Hey, it's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center. And prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. 14-inch yellow perch, that'll get you in. New this year is an invasive species award for those catching blue catfish, flathead catfish, and northern snakeheads. And check out the Maryland Youth Fishing Club and the Youth Angler's Log to learn how your youngster can win a guided fishing trip. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, the tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. Stop by your local citation center. Check out the fishing rule book. Visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. Again, that's the DNR website, www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bed liners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bed liner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bed liner. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
The Wild is calling. The Great American Outdoor Show, presented by Outdoor Channel, is coming to the Farm Show Complex in Harrisburg February 1st to the 9th, celebrating the outdoor traditions treasured by millions of Americans. Over 1,000 exhibitors at the largest sports and outdoor show in the world, plus tons of events for the entire family, including the NRA Country Jam. Start your adventure now by getting your tickets at greatamericanoutdoorshow.org.
I'll take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones, and mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade, sitting in the shade.
All right, Paul Piavas, Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service, the project manager for Chesapeake Bay Finfish. We're talking about yellow perch, and I told the folks we were going to talk about the Upper Bay and the Chop Tank, some popular areas, and that's what we're going to do. So tell me where I'm going for the perch run here in the next 2-3 weeks.
Well, I've
don't give away your top secret spot.
I have very few.
All right, but I'll tell our listeners this: out of 122 entrants in the Maryland Fishing Challenge right now, we have 3 yellow perch. Now those fish are 14 inches, but those are nice fish. Yeah, so
those are nice. Yeah,
thinking that we started last Labor Day with a fishing challenge coming forward. You know, we're going to pick. That number is going to pick up here during the run. So.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yep.
Definitely.
Okay.
My plan of attack is always to be flexible. Of course, I don't get to fish for yellow perch as much as I'd like to, because we are generally out
Doing surveys, yeah, sure.
People always ask, well, geez, you must go out. Don't go out
right.
all over the place being able to fish. We're out either sampling the commercial
yeah.
watermen or out on the trawl or setting our pike net.
All right, so. Cut to it, Paul. Come on. We know you work hard. Let's go. Where are we going to go?
Anywhere you can. How about that? Stay flexible. Stay flexible with your baits. Yeah, sometimes grass shrimp will work. Sometimes minnows. Sometimes artificials.
All right.
You guys
do a lot of work on the chop tank.
Right now.
That's with everything, though. I mean, that's with shad. That's with perch. That's with you name it.
Yep. Right, yeah.
Because it's one of the biggest, most visible rivers right there. So,
yeah, and it has a lot of pretty darn good access, especially up the Tuckahoe.
Right.
If you go in, of course, the Hillsborough area is always a very popular place, and that's actually a good barometer of whether you should go fishing or not.
Right.
You can sit there, and if there's, 10 people fishing there along the bank, and you see a couple people, pulling fish in. It's on.
Yeah, sure.
To get out.
Yeah.
Don't be a spectator.
Right.
And it's for people who don't know. That's right off of Route 404. You take your
turn right at the Shell station.
Yeah, for people on Western Shore that are coming over, you go down Route 50 to Y Mills, and then you just come up 404 and.
Yep.
Essentially, the first light, go right and head down to the creek. And
there you are.
And like I said, that's usually a pretty darn good barometer as to where the run is.
And if it's been a relatively dry year, the bank access is pretty easy.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Certainly. And I don't know if it's highway easement, state highway easement, or the. The landowner allows access,
right.
But it's never been a problem. But
right.
I noticed they do have signs there. Pick up after yourself.
Oh, that's please. Always. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Paul, hang on there. We got a caller. Dale in Easton. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Paul. You know this guy, right?
I think I run into him a couple times.
There you go.
Paul.
Hey, Dan Dale.
All right, Paul, in terms of easement, I know there's some good easement on a chop tank, but one of my pet peeves, and you and I have talked about it in the past, is Williston. Has there been any effort to try to get that reopened? Because that was, in my opinion, possibly the best place to fish for yellow perch on the shore.
Yeah, that they're working on that dam again. I don't know why. What something didn't go right the last time that they fixed it. So they had another drawdown, and they've had equipment there. But I don't look for that state highway, which owns that property.
Yeah, they're the ones that control the access, I think.
Right, yeah, and they didn't seem to be too amenable to letting people go back in.
Yeah, it's a shame because, like I say, that's probably the best place to catch yellow perch on the shore.
Yeah, you could definitely do pretty good there.
Yeah, it's because it's been closed about 10 years. But
wow.
At least.
All right. Well, I have both you guys. I have an email question. What is the status of white shad and hickory shad populations in the Chop Tank River, and is there a problem, or what is the problem?
Meaning the fish, have undergone a very, very extensive stocking effort by our aquaculture
right.
folks.
Been to the hatchery.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
been on the electrofishing trip, been to the hatchery, interesting time. But
right, and then they'll, they get a lot of returns, too. They spend a lot of time on the chop tank with shad.
I guess the question is, are they coming back or are they not coming back? If they're not coming back, why aren't they coming back?
Well, there's a lot of theories. Dale can probably chime in too if he's still online there. But there was they go out in the ocean, of course.
Yeah.
And then they're subject to a lot of what we call intercept fisheries and bycatch. The herring, the river herring, they're theorize that the ocean bycatch is a problem with some of these kind of more multi-species fisheries.
Okay.
Of course, your habitat degradation is always going to be up there as a list of potential candidates. But I think the hatchery folks, you know, are seeing a lot more returns, and certainly that there's a lot more shad in the river now than there was 10 years ago.
Okay.
Hickory shad runs, Paul, have been very strong in the Choptank out of the last 4 or 5 years. And probably the reason for that is there's a slight difference in their life history. They're not susceptible to the ocean intercept fishery like the American shad and river herring are. So the hickory shad runs in the Choptank have been quite strong the last, like I say, 4 or 5 years. American shad runs, not so.
But that's universal on the American shad, though. I mean, they're just not getting here. And the restriction into the spawning reaches is also troubling to the fishery. Am I not correct on that, guys? Because they can't get up the rivers.
Well, they can get up far enough in most of our rivers.
Sure.
You know, they can certainly spawn in the tail race of the Conowingo. If they had their druthers, they'd keep going up.
Going up to Pennsylvania somewhere, central Pennsylvania,
yeah.
I'm sure.
There's been a lot of money and effort spent by the utilities to get them up and above. But that's...
The fish lift.
Yeah, the fish lifts and then, you know, trucking in different years and whatnot. But that, you know, the efficiency of that...
That's a Band-Aid.
Yeah, it's very debatable.
Yeah.
So. But there's also a lot of suitable spawning habitat below the dam.
Right.
But the numbers are just not there. It's probably a, what's called a density-dependent factor, and Paul can speak to that, Alan. The number of spawners is critical to your...
you have to have the fish.
Production.
Right. And if you don't have that, if you don't have the initial spawning stock, you know, it doesn't matter how successful they are. There's just not that many of them to reproduce that many more fish of the same species. I mean, that's pretty simple mathematics. But I guess the question was on the Choptank. You're telling me, Dale, that the hickory shad are strong. American shad still face some issues, and the herring as well.
That's been my experience, Alan.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Right.
Didn't mean to waylay you there, Paul, but it's from the listener. So. Hey, listen, there's the music, guys. We appreciate you chiming in there, Dale. Appreciate
all right.
The.
I'll talk to you later.
All right, man. Take care. I hope you're feeling better. There goes Dale. Paul, thanks for joining us this morning. That went fast.
Yeah, it did.
Quick.
You teased it. Please, people, if you're out there, yell at perch fishing. Volunteer Angler Survey on the webpage.
Volunteer Angler Survey on yellow perch.
Yes, much needed.
Much needed, and we'll try to revisit that in the next couple of weeks. Appreciate it, Paul.
Okay.
Thanks, buddy. Alan. You have a great weekend. See you.
You too.
All righty. Bye-bye. There he goes. Well, okay, that's it for us today, folks. Enjoy your weekend. I'm going to try and hit Harrisburg. I'll let you know how that goes. Now it's time for me to say get out.